Well, let me invite you to find Isaiah chapter 11. We'll be in chapters 11 and 12 this morning as we continue this mini-series in the Christmas season, Manger to Throne, Isaiah chapters 11 and 12. And while you're finding your place, let me begin with a question. I like asking questions and get us kind of thinking in a particular way. So can you think of a president, of a monarch, a king or queen, chancellor, some national leader? Can you think of any national leader who is or was righteous? Righteous. I'm not saying good. I'm not saying benevolent. I'm saying righteous, meaning upright, blameless. Can you think of one? I cannot think of one, and neither can you, because none has ever lived. But there's coming a day when there will be a righteous king and a righteous rule and a righteous reign and a righteous kingdom. And that's the kingdom of God on earth. And King Jesus. King Jesus will be that righteous one who in that day will be reigning right here on planet earth. On the island of Patmos, the Apostle John received a revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 19, he saw heaven opened, and he saw a white horse. And the one sitting on that white horse was called Faithful and True. And the Bible goes on to say in Revelation 19 that in righteousness, and that's our key word today, in righteousness he judged and made war. And he was, and I quote, clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's going to happen someday. That's going to happen someday. The Apostle Paul charged Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 with these words. He said to Timothy, who was a pastor, by the way, keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign. Now, in this case, I kind of like the King James, potentate. Yeah, that just has some punch to it, doesn't it? The blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, in this charge to Timothy, Paul refers to what he calls the proper time. What is that? That's when King Jesus returns. That's the proper time. When King Jesus returns after the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19, and it's during that battle that Jesus once and for all vanquishes all of his opposition, defeats all of his enemies, and he will establish his kingdom, his millennial kingdom, his thousand-year reign kingdom on earth. That's a literal kingdom. That's a literal 1,000-year kingdom. Kingdom, and he will establish that on earth. And let me just put it this way: the one who was laid in a manger will sit on a throne. It's going to happen that day, the proper day, the proper time. The righteous rule of Christ will take place, and so this righteous reign that Paul speaks of, that John saw in his revelation, is it's previewed in Isaiah 11 and 12. And I hope you're there by now, Isaiah chapter 11, chapters 11 and 12, because in those two chapters, we read of that day. That day. By the way, when that day comes, this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray will be answered. You know the prayer? Are you praying that prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In that day, that prayer will be answered. And I think the next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, will you think about what you're praying? Will you consider that that prayer we are to pray regularly, and someday it's going to be answered. And this is the time that we're reading about this morning. Isaiah lived 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. So 800 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Isaiah prophesied four times in chapters 11 and 12 that Messiah would establish his righteous reign on earth in that day. In that day. Now, that day does not refer to a specific 24-hour day. Okay? Rather, it refers to the thousand-year earthly reign of Christ, which is mentioned no less than four times in Revelation chapter 20. But in order to understand Revelation 20, we need to know Isaiah 11 and 12. And I hope you understand that that's how God wants us to use his word. He wants us to look into the Old Testament to gain understanding of what's written in the New Testament. When our kids were small, I used to tell them, I said, now listen, the Old Testament is the picture book. The Old Testament gives us the pictures. The New Testament is the captions that go under the pictures. Okay? And they got that. It was like, oh, that's how it fits together. Yeah, basically. So Isaiah 11 and 12, we're getting a picture. We're getting a picture of King Jesus, the righteous reign, the righteous rule. And then in Revelation 20 and 1 Timothy chapter 6, we have the captions that give explanation to the picture. So let's look at the coming king. Let's look at the coming kingdom of God on earth, which is a day, not just a 24-hour day, a thousand-year reign of Christ that God has been preparing from eternity past. This is not some afterthought. This is not some God sitting in heaven going, you know what? I got an idea. Let's have a kingdom. Let's do that. No, this was part of his plan from eternity past. And that day is when the anointed righteous Son of God will reign on earth and every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you understand that's going to happen? That day is coming. Every knee and every tongue. So Christmas. Okay, we have any kids here this morning? I don't see any kids. Any wannabe kids that just still get excited about Christmas and Christmas Eve? How many days? This is the 13th? How many days? 12 more days till Christmas, all right? So Christmas celebrates the birth of baby Jesus, right? It is. It's the celebration of the birth of Christ, who's also King Jesus. Never forget that. He was a baby, but he was from eternity past. He is eternal. He is the eternal Son of God that invaded this earth as a human being. And he is, and he always has been, and he always will be, King Jesus. The angel told Mary, speaking of Christ, when he was announcing the conception of the Son of God in her womb, he said to Mary, now put your, you ever do this? You ever just put yourself in the place of Bible characters? We'll do that right now, especially you ladies. Just imagine, here's an angel coming out of nowhere, and here's what he says to you about the baby that you are going to bear. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Pause. This is the one. This is the one Israel's been waiting for. The heir of the throne of David. And Mary's going, my firstborn? That's the one in my womb? He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Now, that's what we're talking about this morning. That's where we're focusing this morning. This kingdom that has no end to it, that has yet to be established here on earth. But now listen, it's already in heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is now. It's in heaven. Someday, it'll be on earth. Gary was talking about the impact and ramifications of COVID. Do you think that has thwarted the kingdom of God in heaven? You think somehow God's going, oh, I never saw that coming, COVID, what are we going to do now, you know? No way. This is all part of God's permissive will for revealing his kingdom on earth. So, Isaiah 11 and 12, there are several markers of this coming kingdom. What's it going to be like? Well, his kingdom will be a spiritual reign, a spiritual reign. Look at verse 1. There will come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. It's a spiritual reign, unlike any earthly reign that's ever existed. This will be a spiritual reign with a living, fruitful king. He will be a live shoot from the stump of Jesse. See, this is what Isaiah is telling us, that when it seemed like the royal line of David had ended, had died out, was just a dead stump, this shoot appeared. I have a green ash, or I had, a green ash tree in my side yard. It got the beetle, okay? The beetles took over. We had the tree cut down, okay? But you know what happened? After that tree was cut down, these little shoots started coming out of the trunk. It's like, what? Where'd those come from? It wasn't a dead stump. It was a stump, but it wasn't completely dead. And these shoots started coming. That's what he's talking about here. Out of what appeared to be a dead stump, a dead kingdom, a dead lineage, a dead reign, comes this shoot of Jesse. A living, fruitful king. Isaiah 53, 1 and 2 says of this, Jesus, the Messiah, like a root out of dry ground. Revelation 22:16 refers to him as the root and descendant of David. He will be a living, fruitful king. He will be a live shoot that seems to come out of that which was dead. He will be a fruitful branch from Jesse's roots and lineage. But secondly, in this spiritual reign, he will be a spirit-filled king. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a spirit-filled president of the United States of America? Can you imagine a spirit-filled chancellor of Germany? Can you imagine a spirit-filled queen of England? You don't have to imagine this. Someday there will be a spirit-filled king over his kingdom. I'm not going to have us turn to Revelation chapter 5, but in Revelation chapter 5, in this revelation of Jesus Christ, John sees this throne, and he sees one sitting on the throne with seven horns and seven eyes, which he says are the seven spirits of God in all the earth. You ever wonder what those seven spirits are? Well, Isaiah tells us what they are, right here in Isaiah chapter 11. The seven spirits of God are, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord, which means this is a divine spirit. This isn't some hokey-pokey, scary, spooky spirit. This is a divine spirit. The Spirit of wisdom. That means it's a skillful, spirit-filled king. The Spirit of understanding, he's discerning. The Spirit of counsel, wonderful and wise counsel coming from this king. The Spirit of might, he's omnipotent. He can do anything. He has the power and authority to do anything. The Spirit of knowledge, he's omniscient. He not only can do it all, he knows it all. This is who this king is. This living, fruitful, spirit-filled king. And then seventhly, the spirit of fear. And Isaiah tells us his delight will be the fear of the Lord. Can you imagine having a president in the United States whose delight is the fear of the Lord? But someday that's going to be. And those are the seven spirits. Revelation 5, 6, Isaiah identifies those right here. And Isaiah 1 to 3, a spiritual reign. Secondly, a righteous reign. Look at verse 3, the last part of verse 3 through verse 5. It's going to be a righteous reign. Middle of verse 3 says, he shall not, now listen to this, he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. That's pretty much how rulers do it today. Oh, I see that. Oh, I heard that. You know, I'm going to make a decision based on what I see and hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Wow. I mean, we're talking about a righteous reign by a righteous king who is a righteous judge. He will not judge according to outward appearance, not by what he sees. He will not judge according to hearsay, by what he hears. He will judge according to righteousness. He will be a righteous judge, and he will be a faithful judge because he is a righteous judge, and he does bear the name faithful and true. And righteousness and truth and justice will prevail and will carry the day. Thank you. Yes. Amen. This is what's coming. This is our future. For those of us in Christ. It will be a spiritual reign. It will be a righteous reign. Hang on to your seats here. It will be a pre-fall-like reign. A pre-cursed earth reign. All right? Look at verse 6. I love the imagery here. Dwell on those pictures for a minute, all right? Especially the one on the right. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Are you getting this? We're talking about predatory and non-predatory animals cohabiting, dwelling together, like lying down next to each other, with one not smacking its lips looking at the other one. Okay? The wolf shall dwell, the leopard shall lie, the calf and the lion. That hasn't happened since before the fall. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. And a little child shall lead them. I don't have a picture of that, but just picture that. You got this lion, you got this calf, you got this fatted calf, you got this little kid, and he's leading them. You know, he's got them on a leash. The cow and the bear shall graze. Are you kidding me? This is pre-fall. This is the way it used to be. This is the way it's going to be someday again. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. No more carnivores. All vegetarians. Which doesn't sound so good to me, but anyhow. Yeah, okay. That's heaven. Okay, no, that's the kingdom. Now look at verse 8. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. Wild animals, venomous reptiles, will be pets, will be children's playthings. Do you hear what Isaiah is saying? Everything's changing. When King Jesus comes, everything gets turned on its head in a good way, right? And it's going to be just like it was before the fall, a pre-fall-like reign. And then it's going to be a peaceful reign. Look at verse 9. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine that? I mean, the knowledge of the living and true God covering the earth. You know what that means? Political revolutions will not take place. No coups. No revolutions. Why is that? Because a worldwide knowledge of God will span the entire globe. No one will deny there is a God. Think about that. No one will deny there is a God because there he is on the throne, King Jesus, omnipotent, omniscient. No one will deny there's a God. It will be a peaceful reign. Now, here's the thing. It's the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign of Christ. No one will deny there is a God. But privately, silently, there will be those who will not submit. And at the end of that 1,000-year reign, there will come what the Bible calls the battle of Gog and Magog, when Satan will be released from the pit, and he will join ranks with all those who outwardly submitted to the kingship of Christ and inwardly were rebellious, as if they were going to do what the armies of the world couldn't do at Armageddon. Now we're going to do it. Now we're going to take over. They'll be squashed, just like after Armageddon. A peaceful reign. A global reign. A global reign. Look at verses 10 through 16. We're still on Isaiah chapter 11. In that day, what day is that, class? 1,000-year reign of Christ, okay? In that day, the root of Jesse, who's that? That's Jesus. Who shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire, and of his resting place shall be glorious. In that day, when's that day? 1,000-year reign of Christ, millennial kingdom. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He will raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah and the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river and his scorching breath and strike it into seven channels. And he will lead people across in sandals. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the island from the land of Egypt. Whew. Wow. It's a global reign. King Jesus will rule. All nations will submit to him. And the extent and effects of his kingdom, what are those? He will assemble. This is the best part of the kingdom. He will assemble all the banished tribes of Israel from all four corners of the world. He will bring those tribes back together again. And Psalm 2 tells us, and he will rule with a rod of iron. A spiritual reign, a righteous reign, a pre-fall-like reign, a peaceful reign, and a global reign. But there are two more things, and that brings us to Isaiah chapter 12. According to verses 1 and 2, it will be a praiseworthy reign. Praiseworthy. Look at verse 1, Isaiah 12. You will say in that day, what's that day, class? The kingdom, all right? 1,000-year reign of Christ. In that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I love this, because this is telling me that this will be a time of worldwide worship. A praiseworthy reign. The Lord will be thanked and he will be praised for what he has done. The God of our salvation, he will be our strength and our song. He will be praised. Don't you long for that day, brethren? Don't you long for the day when finally he will be praised? We will sing of him. He will be our strength. He will be our song. And I'm ready. I'm wanting this. How about you? By the way, let whatever is happening on planet Earth today, politically, medically, financially, would you just let it whet your appetite for what's coming? That's going to be so unlike what we're presently experiencing, because it's coming. This is coming. It's going to happen. A praiseworthy reign, and then verses 3 through 6, the last three verses of Isaiah 12, it will be a joyful reign, a joyful reign. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will stay, and you will say, in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout, sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. A joyful reign. I mean, that will just characterize the reign of Christ. Give thanks to the Lord. Listen, gratitude to God will prevail. It'll be heard all over the world. Isn't he good? He's so good. He's great. Now, here's just a little caveat. If there's one group of people that ought to be showing and demonstrating that today, it's the church. It's Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. So when's the last time you said to somebody, God is so good? Isn't he good? Isn't he great? Do you know him? This is the time of year when you and I ought to be asking those questions of others. They're just a little bit more receptive now than any other time of year. Sing praises to the Lord. God alone is praiseworthy. Shout and sing for joy. In that day, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. It will be. Thus, this coming kingdom of God on earth, and it's coming, and that prayer is going to be answered, it will be a spiritual, righteous, pre-fall-like, peaceful, global, praiseworthy, joyful reign. Whew, Christmas is 12 days away, right? That swaddled baby became a suffering servant. Someday, he will be hailed as a sovereign king. He will be. At Christmas, we remember the baby Jesus in the manger. Okay? Let's never leave him there. Don't leave him there. Any more than we would leave him hanging on the cross. Or we would leave him lying in a tomb. Let's not leave him lying in a manger. Okay? Because this God-man lived a sinless life. This God-man did die for your sins and mine. This God-man was buried for 3 days. This God-man was raised from the dead, right? This God-man did ascend to heaven. This God-man was seated, is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. This God-man, this Jesus, that's who we need to see. At Christmas, we see a baby? No, we see King Jesus. That's who we see. That's who we worship. Jesus. Here's the best part. Ready for this? He's coming back. He's going to return. This king is coming. This king is coming. Perhaps today. When's the last time you had that thought on any given day? Seriously, when's the last time you had that thought? Perhaps today. I'm going to tell you something. You wake up every morning, and instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning, say, good morning, Lord. Will you do that? Are you coming today? Is today the day? It will change the way you think. It will change the way you live. If you're thinking every day you wake up, perhaps today. Perhaps this Christmas season. Maybe 2021. I am ready to get 2020 in my rearview mirror, quite honestly, and move on into 2021, right? And maybe that's the year that Jesus returns. Here's the biggest takeaway I can give you this morning. If the kingship of Jesus impacts the nature of salvation, the reality of the cosmos, and all future issues, ought it not impact our little lives? I mean, what's wrong with us? If after reading this and hearing this, nothing changes, we just move out of this auditorium into our day, into our week, into our season of Christmas, and totally unaffected by King Jesus? This is true, not false. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. He is the faithful and true one. That's who He is. He is the Word of God. That's who He is. He is the sovereign Savior. That's who He is. But is this true or false? Is He your king? Is He mine? He is, but is He yours? And is He mine? Does He rule your life? Does He rule my life? Do you live in submission to Him? Do you bow to Him? Do you do that now? Or is it going to be then? See, I say this to my own conviction. Many of us follow King Jesus for all the wrong reasons. What do I mean by that? Well, we want what He can do for us. We want what He can give to us. We want what He can provide for us. Yeah, we want that king. Without wanting Him. Do you want Him? Or just what He can do for you, give to you, provide for you? Are we excited about knowing Him? Are you excited about knowing Christ? Serving Him? Does that excite you? How about worshiping Him? I mean, if He came moping and glum and gloom and all that coming into the auditorium, I hope by now there's a little bit of excitement coming back into your heart, all right? Are we excited about that? I mean, like the three magi that came and found Christ in Bethlehem. Well, maybe it wasn't Bethlehem at that point. I guess it was. I forget. Pastor Adam will answer that question next week, all right? And they bring with gifts in hand. And here are these three grown men bowing with gifts in hand to a two-year-old. And they worshiped Him. Is that how we come? Gladly, with gifts in hand. Well, someday, all will bow to Him. All will worship Him. Buddha and Muhammad will bow to Him. Right? Every king, every ruler, every chancellor, every president will bow to Christ, will worship Him. You and I will. Without exception, every single person will. And it just brings us, Jesus Christ is someone you must know. You must know Him. To be saved by Him. You must know Him to worship Him. You must know Him to have heaven. You must know Him to have eternity with Him in heaven, not hell. Is that your king? Well, that's my king. And He needs to be your king too. The